everyone, to the Life Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We are, of course, coming to you through Republic Broadcasting Network, and we've got a special treat for you today. You've heard me say many times that we don't often have guests on this program because my favorite guest is you, and we're going to have some participation from you folks a little later in the show, but we have a particularly special treat for you today. We have, most of you may have heard, and those of you who don't know, we received some really great news from Las Vegas, Nevada, this week, when the government was unable to secure even one conviction out of 189 counts that it was trying, a massive case involving a number of defendants, I believe 8 or 9 defendants involved. And we have one of the defense attorneys, and we also have his brother, who is also well known in the community. We have Joel Hanson, who is was defending one of the defendants in that case. And we have Chris Hanson, who many of you know, who's been very active in the tax honesty movement over the years. And Joel, are you there? Do we have Joel with us?
I'm here. Do you hear me?
And Chris, can you hear us all right?
I haven't heard Chris yet.
Okay, well, we'll just bring Chris on when he comes
there
on.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
All right.
Hello, you got me?
Yeah, I got you.
There we go.
All right, I've got you fine. We're doing good. And we're looking forward to hearing about this case. I want to let everyone know that we will be taking calls, as we usually do here on the program, but we're going to hold those until the second hour of the program. And when we start approaching that time, I'll remind you of what the number is. You probably have it on your screen, but I'm going to remind it. I'll give you that number a little later on in the program. But, Joel, congratulations.
Well, thank you. I need to tell you that I share this with 8 other attorneys. There were 9 of us because there were 9 defendants.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to represent the fellow who probably was the most knowledgeable about the issue, so I had to learn everything so I could put him on and have him testify about it. So I learned a whole lot about all these issues. I knew a lot about, the other kind, but this was a new case. It was about the gold and silver coin, so that was really a very fascinating study in finding out about how the federal government, the Congress, ordered that these gold and silver coins be minted, and then the IRS said, yeah, but they're not really money. They're really property, and we're going to tax you on the property value of it.
So the Treasury Department says these are dollars, and the Treasury Department says, but you can't call them dollars, and if you do, we're going to put you in jail.
Well, it's a little different than that. Congress actually said that they were dollars. And then the IRS and the Treasury said, yeah, well, that's fine, but we're not going to treat them that way because we're going to tax you on the paper money value of them.
But these were monies, if I remember right, though, that, or if I understand it correctly, that are minted by the U.S. Mint, which is under the auspices
under
of the Treasury Department.
Right. And then the IRS, which is another part of the Treasury, says, okay, well, yeah, that's fine and good, but we want you to pay tax on the FRN value of them. So the government doesn't know what it's doing. There was nothing from the IRS. There were no statutes, there were no regulations, no Treasury regs, no, revenue rulings, nothing in any of the manuals that anybody could ever find, nothing on the Internet, nothing anywhere. Publication 17, all those things, there was no instruction from the IRS whatsoever in anything that anybody could ever find, including the government, that said that you should value the gold coins in terms of paper money.
Yeah.
But that was what the whole trial was about.
Well, that's exactly right, and it's terrific. And we're going to be back to talk about that trial in just a minute here on the Life Free Zone.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
And welcome back. We're back up here and running on the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We have on with us today Joel Hansen, who
Chris also, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
and,
good.
Who was part of the legal team that defended the case. I think your client was Alex Loglia. Is that right, Joel?
Right.
And also we have Chris Hansen on, Joel's brother, who has been active in the tax honesty community for a long time. Want to pick up where we left off. You said earlier that this was all about what's money, basically. Is that right?
That's really true. And how should the new coins that have been mandated by Congress in 1985 and been coined ever since, minted ever since, how should they be evaluated for tax purposes? Congress says they're $50, like a $50 gold piece says $50 on it, but it's worth in Federal Reserve notes, you know, $500 or $600 or $700 in paper. And the IRS says, well, you have to value it in the paper. But there's nothing in the IRS code that says that. The judge did rule that. He said, yeah, that's what you have to do. But, of course, we disagreed with him, and we're probably going to appeal that decision. But for now, the Federal District Court in Nevada has ruled that you have to report your, if you report, of course, you have to report your earnings. If you get them in gold and silver coins, you have to report the market value in Federal Reserve notes. Of course, that's, in despite that, the jury said, no, we think the people believed in this, and they mostly acquitted everybody. They didn't, it was like half and half. Half of them they acquitted, and the other half they had hung juries on.
Hey, Joel, one of the most important questions in the case, one of the interesting things that we discovered while working on this case, was the price that the government, the federal government, values 1 ounce of gold at.
That's very interesting.
All right, what happened here? It sounds like a story.
42.2222 is the official price of gold. 42.2222 cents. I mean dollars per gold ounce.
By the government.
That's the official price.
That's the official price.
Evaluate the coin according to the official price of the material. If you do this to value the way they're now, they're telling you take it in value, then according to the official value, it isn't $700.
That's exactly right. Of course, on the market, if you go out and you say, okay, how many Federal Reserve notes can I get for one of these $50 gold pieces, then you get about $600 or $700. And that's what the IRS wants you to use because, of course, otherwise they lose money. Otherwise the Federal Reserve System, which Congress said we're challenging with this law, it's undercut.
People don't understand
that the Federal Reserve notes are worthless.
Yeah, in other words, they're saying that you cannot believe whenever the Treasury Department stamps $1 on a silver coin, you can't believe that. And when they're saying that on gold the value is 42 and change per ounce, you're not allowed to believe that either. You're required to either believe something else other than what the government is telling you, or you are harboring a criminal intent. If you believe what the government says, you're a criminal.
I can believe that.
That's what it boils down to.
No, I believe if you believe what the government says, you're an idiot.
Well, that's more like
it. You haven't passed a law against being stupid yet.
You know, we had a coin dealer who came in. The government brought him in to testify. His name is Louis Fogelman from New Mexico.
Yeah.
And we had him on the stand, and I said, okay, Mr. Fogelman, I've got a silver dollar in my right hand, and I've got a paper dollar in my left hand. Aren't they legally equivalent? And I thought he would say yes. And he said, no, actually, the Federal Reserve note is not a dollar. It's not really money. The silver dollar is actually the money.
That was the government witness.
That was right. The government's witness.
That's right.
He was the guy
where sitting there telling you that.
Go ahead, Tom. What?
Their own witnesses testifying that the what you're supposed to gauge and value things by isn't money.
Yeah, and I also got him to say, I said, well, don't you file cash transaction reports with the government if you're over $10,000? He said, yeah, that's required at Form 8300, I think it is. And I said, well, really? I said, well, then, if you had, let's say you had $5,000 in silver dollars, which is worth how much? And he said, well, probably $50,000 in FRNs. And I said, so would you fill one out of those? He said, no, I go by the silver dollars. Well, in other words, that's exactly the same thing our people are doing on their taxes. They
exactly
say, well, I don't have that much money, so I don't have to file because I'm not over the threshold.
He's performing duties based upon the face value of the coin.
Of the coin, right.
And he's being proffered by the government as a witness, a carrier, a messenger of the truth.
Yes, he was.
And yet he's testifying exactly that the government is absolutely wrong in their position.
Now tell him what the judge did right after he got done testifying, Joel.
I don't remember what you're talking about, Chris.
When the coin dealer got done testifying, tell him what the judge did.
Then the judge reminded the jury of his ruling, the judge's ruling.
Yeah, that it wasn't really a dollar, that it was property. In other words,
yeah,
the judge,
and that the Federal Reserve note was money, and we all know that.
Yeah, so the judge testified. That's what he did.
It sounds like it. And the judge not only testified, but he testified untruthfully.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you got on there. Now, I'm a lawyer, okay? I know what admission when I see one. And when somebody writes something down and admits something, that to me is a foregone conclusion. I mean, we're getting into summary judgment turf here. But when they stamp it in metal and say, they don't just, they engrave it. I mean, they go to great lengths to create this document saying $1. And that's not an admission.
Well, we thought it was, but the judge ruled otherwise.
Well, one of the other things really is the judge in doing this violated the separation of powers, because in truth, only Congress can set the value of a dollar. The judges don't have the authority to do that. They stepped over, this judge stepped over, violated the Constitution, and violated by the violation of separation powers by defining what a dollar was, because he said that these silver dollars aren't dollars, they're property, even though Congress has determined right in Title 31, 5112E, that they're dollars, 5112D, that these are dollars.
No, but you're talking about an archaic document now. When you're talking about separation of powers, you're just talking about a dusty, musty old instrument that belongs in the archive somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
What do they call that thing?
Well, Constitution.
Oh, yeah, that thing. I remember now. They called it the Constitution.
Sam Ervin said that judicial verbicide is turning the Constitution into a worthless scrap of paper. That was Senator Sam Ervin of Wyoming.
I love that word, verbicide.
I love it, too.
Do you want to hear a little bit about the case law background on this that my client figured out? He wrote a paper on the separation of powers, which was what Chris was just talking about, all about how, in his understanding and what he believed, having reviewed the case law, that Congress was the only one who could, you know, set the value of money and regulate it, and that if the courts tried or if the executive department tried, they were overstepping their bounds and they were violating separation of powers. So he went back and he researched all this and found the Supreme Court cases never having been overruled. Thompson versus Butler is one of them. It was a case about whether or how to value the gold coins of the time in 1870 versus the paper money of the time. And the U.S. Supreme Court said, well, for purposes of legal tender, neither one is the standard. They're both equal under the law.
Now remember,
so a paper dollar is the same as a gold dollar for legal purposes, because that's what Congress said. Now, we all know that they have different value in the marketplace, that the gold coin is going to be worth more than the paper dollar. Of course, that's the case. But legally, they're equal.
But remember,
that's what the Supreme Court said 150 years ago, almost 130 years ago, and it's never been overruled.
When that court case was done, though, he was talking about United States notes, because Federal Reserve notes didn't exist in that Butler case.
Right, it was paper money. It was as close as you can get to the present.
Well, it was a little different, because the government was making the paper money and not the Federal Reserve, which is not a government agency.
That's true. It was different. But
it's a distinction, perhaps, though, without a difference as far as the underlying principle that you're demonstrating with that.
Yeah,
right. And we argued that, and then there's another case that followed up on it, Ling Su Fan, it's called, and it was the same ruling. And interestingly enough, the Nevada Supreme Court, in a case called the Beatty case, ruled exactly the same way, and the issue there was a state Supreme Court justice who had been getting paid in gold dollars, and then the state started paying him in paper money. And he said, no, I don't want this junk. I want my gold dollars. So he sued the state of Nevada, took himself off the case, of course, because he would have a conflict, and the Nevada Supreme Court ruled, no, I'm sorry, paper money is just the same as gold money for purposes of legal tender. So you can't decide which one you want. It's they're equal under the law.
Well,
we had those three cases, and especially this one here in Nevada, which is Nevada law, that's never been overruled.
Yeah. All right, well, take it just the other way around. Suppose I were to come to your place of business, you've got a widget shop, and I want a widget. A widget cost $20, and I give you or $12, let's say. I give you a silver dollar, and I say, here, I want to buy one of your widgets for this, and you're not required to give me $12 worth of credit for that silver dollar, are you?
Not required, no.
No.
But the marketplace.
If you tell me you stack another 11 with that and you can have your widget, I can't very well complain, can I? We're running into a break here, but we want to pick back up with this when we get back. Be sure and stick with us here. We've got some great stuff coming down the pipeline on the Live Free Zone. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280, or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
And welcome back. We are talking with Joel Hansen and his brother Chris Hansen, who are just off of a huge victory in Las Vegas. How many not guilty verdicts were handed down out of those 189 counts, Joel?
Well, there were three of the defendants that were totally not guilty.
Uh-huh.
There were two other defendants that were declared not guilty on all but one count each. And then they had like five or six or seven counts against them, so they were not guilty on all those. But each of them had one count, which was... hung jury. And then there were four other defendants, I would call them probably the major defendants or the main defendants, and those were all hung juries. So there were, out of 189 counts, there were no guilty verdicts, lots of not guilty verdicts, and the rest of it was all hung.
Well, in other words, now, you know, a defendant starts out, every defendant starts out innocent.
Presumed to be not guilty, right.
And, now you've got some that are not guilty, and all the rest of them are still innocent. So
Right. Government
just got a total goose egg from the jury.
Total goose egg. Not a single guilty verdict. And out of 189 counts, nine defendants.
They couldn't prove one single man guilty.
That's exactly. Or woman.
Yeah, one woman.
Or woman. Oh yeah, because tell us what was the lady that was involved in this. Tell everybody what happened on that.
Well, we had several women. There were several women employees. There was Bobby Carey's mother, who was nothing but a runner, And, of course, this was just persecution by the IRS of his family. They charged his mother, they charged his sister, they charged his brother, and they charged him. His brother pled because he couldn't afford to take 4 months off for the trial. But his mother and his sister were there. Both his mother got not guilty, and his sister got a hung jury.
Did the brother plead just as out of curiosity only, because I guess I'm a trial lawyer, but did the brother plead?
Financial reasons. He just couldn't afford to spend 4 months in a trial.
Well, did he plead acknowledging guilt, or did he plead as an offered plea?
No, he had to acknowledge guilt.
They wouldn't accept an offered?
No.
Or he didn't try?
I don't know. I don't really know. I wasn't involved in that. I can't tell you the answer to that for sure, actually.
Yeah. What we've got here, though, is really was a concerted effort, just like every trial is. I mean, you know, it's like in my case, I participated, so did Larry. He was lead. I did an awful lot of the pretrial motions. He did some of them. George Harp assisted both of us.
Oh, yeah?
So it's a team effort, but it's just being on the team, Joel, is a fantastic victory on your behalf.
Well, and of course, I had my guy was one of the main defendants, and I had the laboring order to take care of him, and he got a hung jury, and then the vote was 7-5 in his favor. I found out afterwards.
Yeah, now you obviously are able to interview your jurors.
Yeah, well, the ones that liked us, the ones that didn't, they left, but the seven and the five or six or seven of them that were on our side, they stayed. And
but it was okay for you to interview them.
Oh, yeah.
There are local rules here. We were prevented from
precluded
interviewing them, period.
No, we interviewed them, and they were very very much in our favor.
There was one fellow,
Mr. Stevens, an African-American gentleman, who was extremely, totally, very vocally on our side.
Yeah.
He was great.
Good. There was no way they were going to break those guys down. No way the other five were going to turn them, it sounds like.
Doesn't sound like it to me, no.
But in talking to these folks, you've got two levels of belief here on the part of the jury. One level is to believe that the guy genuinely holds his beliefs and therefore does not have the requisite scienter or guilty knowledge.
Right.
That's one. And the other is that he not only believes that the defendant believes what he states, but that what the defendant believes is true or correct.
Yeah, nobody on the jury admitted to that, but I think there was probably some of that there.
You believe that was one of the components?
Yeah, no. Of course, they can't sit there and listen to all this stuff and hear all this testimony that these are, and look at the coins. They can't sit there. We passed the coins to the jury. We passed them and said, here, feel these. Look at them.
Yeah, read
they can't do that. They can't do that and not think to themselves, well, gee, this looks like money to me.
It says it's a dollar.
Says it's a dollar.
It says it's $50.
and we got to put the statutes on before the jury. We got the statutes into evidence that made these coins, and they say, they're to be stamped on the coin. $1 or $50 or whatever, there's several of the gold coins, there's 10, there's 5, 10, I think 25 and 50. Or is it 20, Chris?
It's 5, 10, 25 and 50. One of the interesting things about that, for some reason, is the $50 coin weighs 1 ounce and the $10 coin weighs 1/4 of an ounce, which means that even in the gold coins, they're still following unequal weights and measures.
Right.
Yeah.
There are a lot better weights and measures than paper money.
They're much better. Yeah. That's why I strictly go by silver dollars, because there's no unequal weights and measure, which according to the Bible is an abomination to God. And in the debates when they were passing these bills, one of the congressmen, I think it was Congressman Crane, actually said that this bill will restore the equal weights and measures that the original Constitution, they cut a deal. Joel, tell them about that, how they cut the deal.
Well, we're running into a break right now, gents, but these breaks are major inconveniences, but necessary. And we'll pick back up on the equal weights when we get right back here in just a few minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
We're back up and running here on Life Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We have with us Joel and Chris Hansen, who are just off of a major victory in Las Vegas. The government walked away totally empty-handed, but I think that's because whenever they arrive at the courthouse, they're usually empty-handed. They're used to that being enough, the accusation carrying its own weight, but it didn't work this time, did it, Joel?
No, unfortunately for the government, it didn't. But we had, we had 3 months in trial, 3.5, almost 4 months in trial. And the longer the trial went on, the more the jury got clued in that this was, actually just a witch hunt or a effort of the government to put a bunch of innocent people in jail. They just didn't buy it. The jury just didn't buy it. It was, how they did is they said, well, we don't like this because you're getting away with something. And so they figured that the courts would back them up, and so they went. They actually raided Mr. Carey's business.
Yeah, tell folks a little bit about this raid.
Well, they investigated Mr. Carey for some time, and then he and my client sent in a FOIA, a Freedom of Information request.
Right.
Got back that the government had been investigating them criminally and had dropped the case. So they said, well, they must have decided that, this is okay. So then 3 years later, all of a sudden the SWAT team for the IRS shows up at their door with armored personnel carriers and
broke down an open fence.
They broke down his gate. They went ramming through the gate. They all jump out and round everybody up at the point of machine guns, automatic rifles,
bring women and men out into the parking lot in 106-degree heat and have them standing there for an hour while they were questioning them with guns pointing at them. The other guys were inside disabling the video cameras that were taking their pictures and taking all the gold and silver coins out of there and cleaning out all Mr. Kerry's files. That's what happened. And then so Mr. Kerry went to his lawyer and said, hey, I want to sue the IRS agents over this. They not only sued the prosecutor, but sued his case agent. It was Mr. Dam and Mr. Halper were sued in the Bivens action. And then when they, and then after that suit was filed, then Mr. Dam, the prosecutor, came back and indicted everybody. So we tried to get Mr. Dam disqualified from the case because he's got a personal interest. Of course, he doesn't want them to be able to sue him. He wants to put them in jail. And so we moved to have him disqualified, and the judge wouldn't do it. Wouldn't kick him off.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Of course, now when he does come back after being sued, he doesn't just indict the guy who's suing him. He indicted him, the horse he rode in on, his mama, his brother, and his sister,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, several of the people that sued, he wasn't the only one that sued him. Several of the employees sued him. So most of the people, or at least I don't know how many, but several of the people that got indicted were plaintiffs in the Bivens action.
Well, you know, you got all these people. I've got a picture in my mind. I might be drawing a wrong picture, so we'll get it corrected if that's the case. But the picture I'm getting in my mind is a bunch of people standing forlorn in a parking lot in 100-plus degree weather without water, without restroom facilities.
Where
in the heck was FEMA? You know, what was FEMA doing? Sitting on their hands? I mean, they should have had buses out there for those folks and some money and stuff.
Where was the Fourth Amendment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where was the Fourth Amendment? What was that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was that old dusty document that we were talking about.
Forgot about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well,
an interesting thing.
Somebody needs to drag that document out and dust it off and start showing it to people. So many people have no. I bet you that most folks know more about their automobile liability policy than they know about their own constitution.
Well, that's unfortunately the case because we're the victim of the Chris, you tell them about that. The tenth commandment of communism is.
No, the second commandment of communism on the Communist Manifesto, which was written in 1848, is a graduated income tax. The fifth is essentially the Federal Reserve, which is a national bank which controls all credit and all monetary systems. And then, of course, we have implemented in the United States the 10th plank, too, which is free public schools. Of course, they're mandatory free public schools.
Right. Mandatory indoctrination.
We have totally implemented the religion of communism, which has been identified as a religion by organizations and professors from all over the United States.
Now,
communism is a religion.
The ironic thing about that is that while they're following the Communist Manifesto's model, it's being conducted by the mega capitalists.
Well, you know, the group that financed Marx was the Rothschild brothers. So it's not odd at all. This has been going on since 1848. The Rothschilds, the international bankers, sponsored Marx to write the Communist Manifesto. So this isn't new. And then you recall that in 1862, we got the first income tax under Lincoln, right after it was written in 1848. We also got the National Bank Act in 1862, which started down the road toward the fifth plank. And most people don't know that in 1853 was when we got our first mandatory free school. So within 14 years of the Communist Manifesto being written, three of the planks were at least starting to be implemented in the United States of America. This is long term. This isn't. And then remember that Congress has declared that communism is a worldwide conspiracy out to destroy the United States. So Congress has recognized it. History demonstrates it. The capitalists and communists have been working together and have implemented their religion. There's a great book out called Keeping the Faith. And it talks about the United States Supreme Court justices being the high priests of the new American civil religion, which the Supreme Court has said that the United States can't establish a civic or secular religion in two different cases, one of them being Lee versus Wiseman. You can't establish it. But they are establishing it, so they're in continuous violation of the First Amendment.
And under the Flast case, the United States Supreme Court said that we could actually challenge the tax if it was for the establishment of a religion. So they're establishing communism, which is a religion. I mean, it would be like setting up a tax that would be a tax that said, okay, we're going to tax you on 100% of everything you make on Sunday, and then saying that that didn't have anything to do with the establishment of a religion. They're establishing a religion. The second plank of the communist manifesto is a religion.
The use of taxes to govern behavior is nothing new.
Right.
The most notable of which is just the standard phrase or buzz phrase syntax.
Yes.
You know, we're going to pass a tax to discourage certain consumption of certain commodities.
The power to tax is the power to destroy, and what they've tried to do illegally and unconstitutionally, in my mind, is to establish a tax on labor. If you can tax labor, you can destroy labor, which means that a person can't eat. Not only that, it's also a commandment of God that we labor, and therefore they're trying to establish their religion.
Well, even if you take and look at the secular side of that issue on labor, you have YICWA, you have Butchers Union. There are a multitude of Supreme Court cases recognizing that each of us, along with our freedom of speech, freedom of religion, other fundamental rights, has a fundamental God-given right.
That's right.
To earn a living through any lawful occupation. And so the exercise of that right is just as exempt as any other right, act of right, as opposed to a privileged activity, that's beyond the governing scope, a regulating scope of the federal government. If they can't govern it, they can't tax it.
And Tom, you wrote a masterpiece on that. I so totally enjoyed what you wrote on that. Read every word two or three times.
Thank you. You want to say that a couple more times, I'll let you. I'm kidding. But it's just you have all this stuff that's just being totally ignored, and a tax on labor is not just a question of degree. I mean, if I could decide unilaterally that I am entitled to take 30% of your earnings, that means I'm deciding how much you are entitled to keep.
That's right.
Now, if I, even a sharecropper can negotiate with the landowner.
That's right.
He has the right to sit down and bargain and say, yes, I'll take the deal, I won't take the deal. But in this particular case, there is no negotiation. Since they decide what to take, they're also deciding what you're going to be permitted to keep. And that means that they own your labor. And that's nothing short of the definition of slavery.
Well, in a case that was going on at the same time as this case, as a matter of fact, we were called out of the tax court case for Joel to go over to the other trial. We've been going over a lot of these issues, and one of the things we found is in Northern Pipeline case, they talk about that in order to force you to a particularized tribunal, which is tax court, is a particularized tribunal. It's not an Article III court. So in order to go to this particularized tribunal, you have to have received a congressional right. Now, if they have a congressional right, they can set presumptions, they can set all these things. So what somehow, somewhere, they have decided that your labor, is, in your case being an attorney, in mine being a carpenter, in the case we were working on being a plumber, somehow that is a congressionally granted right. Now, that's ridiculous.
Well, a congressional right is right in tune with Marshall, who was destructive enough on his own, to the Ark, what Taft called the Ark of our Covenant. But it was Marshall who defined the limits by stating that the taxing authority and the sovereignty, which are coextensive, extend to all things that exist by the government's authority or introduced by its permission. So here you're talking about the grant of a congressional right or congressional franchise. Congress doesn't give us permission to earn a living. It doesn't
give us
permission to get out and work.
Absolutely, they do not. So how do you become a taxpayer? Well, the code's very clear. You become a taxpayer by being a government official.
Or by waiving your exemptions by filing and signing a document that says, yes, this is my tax liability.
Absolutely.
And I'm waiving my exemption of my revenues from taxation.
That's right.
But I want to talk about more about this case going going on. This must have been very frustrating for the trial judge.
Well, the trial judge was obviously hostile to our position throughout the case.
No kidding.
He, at one point in the trial, my client was testifying about the fact that he had written to an attorney to get an opinion regarding whether or not there was any defense to not filing, because he wanted to know.
Obviously trying to buy a reliance defense.
Well, that's what the judge thought, but anyway, he got a letter back saying, yeah, there is a defense. It's called good faith belief that you don't have to file or pay, and if you rely on the opinion of an attorney, that's even better. So anyway, the judge at that point went out of his mind and starts cross-examining my client in front of the jury, saying, you mean to tell me you knew about this defense 10 years ago? And extremely hostile cross-examination of my client. And then, of course, I objected to that at the appropriate moment. The next Monday, the judge got on the bench and said to the jury, I need to admonish myself. I was out of line last Friday, and I'm admonishing you not to think about or remember or consider any of the questions that I asked or the answers that Mr. Logley gave at the time that I was cross-examining him.
So in a 30-second admonition, he thinks that he's just going to wipe off a major negative impression and an entire weekend for it to fester and bleed in.
And, of course, the jury's sitting there, and they're seeing the judge doing this. What are they supposed to think? You know?
Yeah.
So I said when the jury wasn't there, when I had an opportunity to do it, I said, Your Honor, I'm sorry, but I do want to make a record here. I object to what you had to say. I think it was improper, and your attempt to fix it was too little and too late. I move for a mistrial.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Denied.
And then after the trial was over, the judge pulled all the jurors back into his chamber, and the word is that he criticized the jurors for their decision.
Yeah, but we don't.
Well, that's the word that I'm getting, Joel. Sure, you don't get to hear everything.
I want to make it clear that we don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
it's also interesting to note that the judge and the prosecutor both go to the same church.
Well, you know.
Yeah, but so do I.
Yeah, but so does Joel. So do I. So.
Yeah, you know, just how far do you want to skin that puppy out, you know? Both the prosecutor and the judge probably have other things in common, like bodily functions that they perform every day. And they probably both have two legs. I mean, you know, we could keep on going.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to imagine how a court can be so impartial and openly hostile. Since I tell you what, I've read accounts of judges and some of the things that they've done. I've heard stories. But I can tell you that when you're sitting there and you've got the judge glaring at you just because you're sitting at the defense table, and then whenever you climb into that stand, and of course the courtroom never looked like that to me before. I've been in many, many courtrooms. And as a matter of fact, I've tried cases in that very courtroom. Never before had it looked quite like it did from that witness stand.
I can imagine.
It changes your perspective. And Joel, I hope you don't learn what I've learned about that. But it gives you a new appreciation for your client's situation and how it feels to be in that hot seat. I've always tried to
be
empathetic.
I wouldn't want to be there, I'll tell you that.
I've always tried to take into account how it must be, but I couldn't truly understand it until I've been there. But when that judge is actually yelling at you and is actually hateful, not just rude, not just obnoxious, but rude to the point of being just totally over the top in front of the jury, and you know that you cannot respond in kind, and he knows that too,
yeah.
Then you have to say, our system, you know, is totally broken down.
You can't get in the way of their religion. They're going to yell at you. And
their rightful is precious to them. And
it's precious to them.
You look at, and one of the funniest parts of the trial according to the observers, and they picked up on this, so I'm assuming that the jury did too, is...
This is your trial, Tom?
He argues, in closing arguments, the AUSA argued just, well, follow the money. And we're sitting here in 30-foot ceilings with granite and silver inlaid floors, cherry and mahogany, and electronics out the wazoo, real-time transcripts rolling out on every single station, and he's saying, follow the money.
Yeah.
And, there's the money.
Mm-hmm.
There's your money. These temples erected to the Holy of Holies, you know.
That's exactly what they are. They're temples.
And these guys get sequestered back into the bowels of these temples and back in the sanctum sanctorum of the temple where they aren't accessible by the general public, and they get the Michael Jackson syndrome because nobody has the wherewithal, I guess, to stand up and tell them they're wrong about something. And then the next thing you know, we have a goblet on our hands. And I think what we need to do is something similar.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
And we're back after running high all over that last break. Welcome to live radio. Fellas, I just wanted to clarify one thing, because I don't think we made that real clear before as to what was going on here. Was it, in fact, you take a guy who normally would work for $12 or $13 an hour, and let's just assume a $12 exchange or value for a silver dollar. I don't know what they're worth.
Right now they're going for over 15, and the Treasury Department has just ceased all the sales of the gold coins because the Federal Reserve note is devaluing so quickly right now that they had to stop the sales of the gold coins for the price that they were selling them for in Federal Reserve notes.
That, I saw that that news flash. But let's say News 15. A guy works for $15 an hour normally, and for 40 hours, that would be a $600 a week. But instead, what he would get would be 40 silver dollars.
Right.
So, in effect, he was being paid $40 because that's what it says on that coin.
On the coin, right.
Absolutely.
And so he receives $40. Well, on $40 per week, withholding is zip, right?
That's correct.
Tax liability is zip, right?
Yep. And that's what the employer said. Well, my people will never reach the threshold.
Right.
To have to file anything.
Even though the threshold doesn't really exist because there is no standard exemption fixed by any law or
is that right?
Any regulation.
Anyway,
the course of law.
It appears in the 1040 instructions. We know
right.
that much.
Yeah,
anyway,
well, you see, but
I understand what you're saying.
It's not a law, and it's not binding.
I anyway, agree with so you, but Joel still tries to... make sure that he doesn't get
assuming
trouble.
For the purpose of argument.
Purposes of the trial.
Right.
That's what was accepted at the trial.
Yeah.
And so he's saying, well, since none of my employees will ever reach that threshold, I don't have to withhold. And the IRS is saying, oh, yes, you do, because you have to figure this out in the FRN value, not the silver and gold value. That was the issue with the employer. And for the employees, it was, well, why do I have to file if I only made $4,000 this year.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that the judge came up with that ruling is that he took a Ninth Circuit court case, maybe two of them, and he determined that because of what the Ninth Circuit had said before, this is before the United States started minting gold and silver coins again. And he used that case to set his determination instead of the fact that Congress had started minting these coins again.
There wasn't other hard currency. But now there is.
There was
That's
no
right.
hard
there was
currency.
No hard currency
in
now,
circulation.
You mentioned that your client had written a paper for in school, and that but
yeah,
his professor,
I
believe you didn't make it finish up on that. But his professor was actually a sitting judge on the Ninth Circuit, didn't he?
That's correct. Of course, the professor didn't endorse what he said in the paper. But he gave him an A on it because.
Well, that was my next question: was what did he give him on a grade?
Gave an A. And he said it was very good, and
he
recommended
it
for publication in the Nevada Law Journal.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And tell him what the comment was that the judge made about the paper.
Yeah,
because he wrote a comment on the paper.
Well, let's see which one. He wrote a lot of comments, Chris. The one he said maybe we ought to look and see why we haven't followed up on this, essentially to see if it really is a violation of separation of powers, as I recall. Are you thinking of another
yes.
one?
No, that's the one that he had complimented.
Why haven't we honed in on this? Let me, you know, Tom, for a minute, if I can explain the case law on this, I think it might be interesting to your readers.
Well, we were picking up on that, but we're running right into another break. This time I hear the music coming up. And what we'll do is we'll pick up with the case law on that particular point when we get back.